You're listening to the OneOfUs.net podcast network.
You've listened to OneOfUs.net for years. Quality shows that have made you laugh and maybe even cry. But did you know they produce podcasts that you may not have even heard of? For just a few dollars a month, you have the opportunity to hear quality podcasts like The Breakfast Pub,
Clegane Bowl 2016, get hyped, motherfuckers!
The Original Gentleman.
I see this as an avenue to you becoming a huge chick magnet.
Oh, yeah.
And the Watch a Movie With Us series.
By the way, anybody thinking that his makeup is a little bit heavy here does not remember the 80s.
Oh, she's thinking about banking babies right now.
Oh, it turned into a phallic symbol.
Become a subscriber to OneOfUs.net and choose your level of giving from Red Shirt, Brown Coat, Time Lord, and Jedi. And know that your donation will help bring quality oral entertainment to you for years to come. Thank you. And may Cthulhu devour your house last.
I always pick truth because you can tell me anything. I'll tell you whatever you want to know. It doesn't matter. Sure, here you go. But dare is like never. And they're like, are you ever going to take a dare? I'm like, no, I'm not an idiot. You can know anything about me you want, but I'm not going to go do some stupid thing.
Yeah, I won't. Yeah. Yeah. I'm not going to go ahead and just climb across, you know, an alleyway on a ladder.
No.
That's not my for $200.
Yeah. No, yeah, I know.
Yeah,
right?
How much was she offered?
I don't remember.
It was... They never told you how much Sydney was offered, but V was offered $15,000.
All right, so probably
but she just did it to fuck over Sid.
All right, well, let's not get too much into spoilers here, people.
Okay.
We're doing our review of Nerve. Elliot's here, of course.
How you doing?
I was all excited about this one.
Well, I tell you, like I just was like, I really like Dave Franco.
Yeah,
he never lets me down, even in bad movies. Dave Franco is a good actor. So I was like, I gotta see a Dave Franco movie. So he's sort of the same way I view Matt Damon these days. It's like, I'm like, you know what? You are reliable. You're always gonna be good.
I kind of feel that way about Emma Roberts, but
yeah.
Okay.
Emma Roberts is really good. What else was she in? And
well,
I can't
just
remember.
American Horror Story, and then Scream Queens.
Scream 4.
She was in a movie recently.
Okay, yeah. Maybe Scream 4 wasn't a great example for her being reliable.
That horrible Jennifer Aniston movie.
Which one?
They're that fake fan.
Rumor has it.
No.
Yeah, and she was in Valentine's Day.
Keeping Up with the Joneses or something?
We're the Millers.
That wasn't... Okay, so maybe that was a bad
example. The Millers was okay.
Oh my gosh.
Chris Hemsworth was fucking hilarious.
It wasn't the worst thing ever.
No, he was in National Lampoon.
Vacation.
Because I just sort of combined those two in my head. But white family goes across the country. Same thing. Come on.
You're like, why do I care? We have two new folks joining us here. Rob, hey, why don't you say something about yourself?
Hey, I'm Rob. I'm an independent filmmaker here in Austin, Texas, and happy to be here.
I brought in my bartender. It was usually the other way around. Yeah. I was the bartender who got brought in.
That's right.
I feel like I'm on the set of Lost right now. Like, what's going on? We have to go back!
And Frank.
Hi, how's it going, guys?
And you?
I am a staff writer for Synapse.
Yeah. Oh, cool.
Yeah.
Same one, Ed Travis, who also occasionally shows up on our
podcast. I like that site. It's a good site.
Thank you, Ed, for telling me about this.
So, you know, just a little bit, what's your beat?
My beat? Yeah. I have a column on Synapse called Box Office Alternatives. Basically, I recommend movies that are different options to whatever's up near the multiplex.
So, like, counterplanning?
Huh? Yeah.
What did you write when Civil War came out? Like, what was your...
Civil War. What are, I wrote about the Robert Downey Jr. movie in the 80s called Chances Are.
Okay. Okay. I just watched that recently.
Pleasant romantic comedy. Which I'm not a romantic comedy guy, but that one just had some, you know.
It's got some sweet bits.
It's a whimsical little ride.
And it's got that magical realism bit.
Yeah, exactly.
You talk like a writer.
Good.
It's very, you're painting a word picture for me, sir, and I appreciate it.
Oh, thank you.
It's like Electric Company. He's got a little balloon that appears above his head like
Spider-Man. Yeah, he's like, it's a very whimsical tale, and I'm like, I want to see this movie now.
I just thought it was long-winded. I talk like a writer.
He's impressed every time someone says whimsical.
I am impressed.
It's just his thing.
It's fancy-free and awesome. Come on.
And Rob, Rob, you made a couple short films with your brother.
Yes, my twin brother and I are independent filmmakers here in Austin, and we just finished our latest one this last week.
Okay.
What genre?
This last one was horror comedy.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, the one before that was kind of Twilight Zone sci-fi-ish, so definitely operate in that genre area.
So in terms of, like, if we talk about a scale of horror comedy, if we go all the way from Ash versus the Evil Dead, Cabin in the Woods, to Tucker and Dale versus Evil, where do we fall on that spectrum?
It's really too far away from each other, really.
Yeah, Ash versus Evil Dead is pretty far away from the other two.
Probably closer to something like Shaun of the Dead.
Oh awesome. You you're speaking my language.
All right, right on.
You got a little red on you, sir.
So let's just dive into this movie here.
Yes.
Idea being Emma Roberts plays high school senior V, or Venus, who is...
Sailor Venus?
Who spends the first 10 minutes of this movie pretty much surfing the web.
Yeah. Man,
and you go right off the bat. I know whenever I see that in a movie now, I'm like, oh God, it's another one of these.
Like, how do we make surfing the web cinematic?
Yeah.
How do we cut that on our budget? By doing a screen cap software.
So far, The Social Network seems to be the only movie that did it with a sense of real art and style.
Cool.
Although, I will say right off the bat, this did not do a terrible job.
It didn't do a terrible job.
I think the filmmakers, that's kind of their jam. They traffic in technology and identity. They made Catfish.
Yeah.
And they made...
A couple Paranormal Activity movies.
And the two Paranormal Activity movies. Yeah. And so I feel like...
One of the best ones and one of the worst ones.
So three and five?
Three and four.
Four? Oh, yeah. Four is bad.
Four is bad.
I get four confused with the... It's just what it is. The Hispanic one.
Three is the best one.
That's what it is.
Three is the best one out of all of them, I think, personally. But,
I mean, the whole series is just so slow, so I was kind of surprised that they were able to make something this vibrant and this fast-paced.
It's
something that felt so alive.
Yeah, it's very fast-moving. I mean, even, like I said, the internet moments that are going on, they find a new way to shoot them.
Yeah.
So it's like, okay... Maybe I'm not as bored by this as I thought I was.
I was horrified that it was going to be, like, Unfriended. Because, like, I watched that just on a Saturday night, and I was like, well, it can't be that bad. And it's like, you didn't shoot any footage besides screen caps.
I thought it was going to be, like, the Elijah Wood movie.
Oh, yeah,
Lord
of the Rings. Open Windows was good.
Well, I thought it was good, too.
I didn't love that one.
I didn't love that one, either.
Yeah, that's a very, like, polarizing film.
It is.
Yeah.
So she goes to high school with Emily Mead, who plays Sydney, and you've seen her. She's kind of a horror staple at this point.
I love Emily Mead.
Getting her start with, like, from, like, My Soul to Take, the Wes Craven film. She was in 12. And then recently she's played one of the lead roles on The Leftovers. But anyway, so she's the wild girl, and Emma Roberts is the good girl. And there's definitely a dynamic there of, like, you know, underlying resentment.
Yeah.
Certainly. Well, that's just, it's not simmering, but it's there.
Well, no, and that dynamic is, I gotta say, just somebody who's been in that dynamic as a dude, obviously. Mm. Like, that dynamic is just widespread in high schools, because, like, I had a friend when I was in high school who I was basically, Roberts, I was very quiet. Like, I just would, I would just sort of do my thing and not really bother anybody. I just wanted to play video games and go home. Or, like, go to school, go home, play video games. And this guy, he was just outspoken. Now, he was sort of a friend, but he was a friend in the way that he sort of put me down. And that was our dynamic. And as soon as I grew out of that dynamic, the friendship no longer worked. And so you sort of see the same thing in this movie. That's like, one of the things I like about this movie is they really do a good job of layering things on top of each other, so that you do have a good sort of coming of age story. Mm-hmm. Then on top of that, digital paranoia, and then on top of that, sort of an action thing at the end.
Well, okay, you're still going into the review.
Sorry,
here.
Yo, y'all are new. One of, like, everybody's favorite habits. It's unintentional, but it's sort of fun. Is just watching Chris get off course.
They just—I guarantee you—they're placing bets behind the scenes. See how easy it is to make him go off on some tangent. Miles Helzer plays Tommy, who is, you know, friend zoned as hell.
Oh my gosh!
Yeah. Needs to read Dr. Nerd Love. That's all I got to say.
He's—I mean, ultimately, he's here for two reasons. He's here for that type of audience who feels that way in life to identify with, and B, to be a Deus Ex Machina. At the film's plot.
Magic hacker.
The magic hacker. A senior in high school. Sure.
You should be working for fucking Google, sir. You should be rich.
But Emma Roberts gets sidetracked from her regular way of dealing with life when, A, her friend kind of throws her under the bus by going right in front of her to the high school quarterback guy who she digs and saying, "Hey, that my friend likes you." And she's like, "Well, fuck that." And like, my life is just a mess and I'm tired of being the person who I am. And she finds about this online game called Nerve where you can be a watcher or you can be a player. And if you're a player, for money, you have to take bets that will get progressively more weird and scary as dares. And if you're a watcher, you pay money just to watch whoever's on there. So she decides in a fit of pique, "I'm going to be a player." And right off the bat, her first bet to kiss a random guy in a restaurant ends up being Dave Franco. How lucky is she, right?
You could do worse. You know?
She could do worse. Yeah. And then immediately after that, the next bet is for the two of them to go off into the city. And it's clear that the players want these two to work together, which is fine. And there's certainly a period of the first half of this film that's kind of like, oh, well, that's kind of a weird meet cute. It's almost kind of a romantic comedy.
Yeah, it's a Taylor Swift music video for about 5 minutes.
Yeah.
It's like, "Welcome to New York." Okay, we get it.
Yes, they're going and doing
New York that they always do. Yeah.
They're going on and doing silly bets that aren't necessarily dangerous. They're more embarrassing than anything else.
Yeah.
Although we do get to see Emma Roberts and Dave Franco running around in their underwear, so there's something for both genders there.
But to be really, to give this movie credit, they don't bill it for sensationalism.
No.
The entire time you feel like, at least I felt like, the movie was trying to get you to realize you're a voyeur too.
Yes.
Yeah.
Like, you're sitting here watching this girl in her panda panties. You should feel bad right now. And I'm like, I appreciate that movie because I'm a 32-year-old man.
Yeah, it was about the voyeurism more than like the how crazy incredible the bets were, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, I really didn't care what they were asked to do at some point. I just wanted to see, you know, how engrossing they were to people.
Yeah.
You know, and
you wouldn't see the effect.
What made them.
As the movie continues, it gets to that point where it's clear, oh, by the way, we're not a meet cute romantic comedy. Yeah. You know, we're not like, this isn't like Go where there's going to be some action.
Go is so good.
But like, you know, ultimately it's not all that dangerous. This one wants to turn into a cyber thriller in the third act. Mm-hmm. And I feel like that's really where this goes off the rails.
Sandra Bullock shows up in the third act.
You know, no. In the Sandra Bullock movie, those are the days of hacking when they're like, to hack, you have to like go through like basically play Doom, but with like alphanumeric floating
like
around.
Angelina Jolie and Justin Long are just hanging out by a phone playing a flute into it.
Yeah.
So this is a day and age where anyone calls themselves a hacker. My roommate calls himself a hacker. I'm like, "You download movies off Pirate Bay. You're not a hacker.
You have a VPN and you download movies. You're just a douchebag, Johnny."
I mean, even if you have a Tor browser, that doesn't make you a hacker.
Oh, yeah.
You
know? That was my favorite part. He's like, "I spent a lot of time." Literally, this is a line of the movie. "I spent a lot of time on the dark web." It's like, "What the fuck? Get the fuck out of my car. This is my car. Get the fuck out of the car."
I gotta admit, I've thought about getting on there. It's easy.
Dark
It's easy to get on.
Then how dark is it? It's the dusk web.
Yeah.
Dusk web.
Well, you know, there's hacker rumor that there is a darker web called the Marianas web that lays beneath the dark web.
No one's ever been able to prove it exists. There sort of has to be, because if the dark web is that easy to get into, then is it really that dark? Is it really?
Self-growth, does anybody really want to go in there?
Yeah. No. From what I hear, it really is that dark.
Mm.
Yeah, it's kind of nasty. Lots of like, "Hey, want to fuck a kid? Go to the dark web."
But it's like, you know, you keep on hearing about like the fact that we know about it. It can't be that dark. I mean, in terms of dark, I mean like hidden.
But it has become to where it's now a pop cultural, like, touchstone for, like, huh?
It's like an urban legend?
No, I mean, it is real.
No, it's real,
sure.
Yeah.
I mean, like I said, I could get on right now, download a browser, and go on the dark net. It's not that big of a deal. But it's become, in fiction, in cyber fiction, this sort of boogeyman thing.
Oh,
you know,
right,
that's
yeah.
like, oh, the dark web.
No, yeah, like dark web is what the web was in 1995.
Exactly.
Yeah, exactly.
That's what it is. Before Google went and indexed everything.
Yeah.
Where,
do you remember Google back in those days?
Oh, my God. Well, here's the thing. It's like, you know, I barely escaped the future that my children are going to live in when everything they do, and children today, everything they do is going to be recorded forever. So if you post anything, that shit is online, whereas, like, I got one embarrassing live journal before I realized everything was being indexed.
Oh, I got, like, 50. But no, they all went to private several years back.
Wow, I'm starting to think I need to scrub everything.
Well, here's the thing. Here's the worst thing.
Occurring to me.
Even if you scrub it, the Google Wayback Machine saves a lot of that
shit.
It
does. It caches all sorts of stuff.
And even if you set it to private, it's still going to show up.
You're never totally safe, which is kind of, the argument this movie is making. And, like, mm-hmm. Whereas we say that, we don't really understand how all that stuff works.
No.
I mean,
no.
We get that no one is really safe. I mean, just recently, the Russian hack, if it was the Russians, you know, they say...
they were hacking WikiLeaks.
Yeah. Like, nothing is... I mean, if you can do that, what the fuck is safe? You know, if somebody wants to get you, they're going to get you. And this movie takes that, like, that's the real boogeyman. As though, like, oh, there's all these people, and they're everywhere who are going to... If they feel like it, they can hack your shit. And, you know, the game itself, the Nerve game, is definitely the boogeyman of the film that represents this... Not the dark web, but the darker side of the internet, of these people who hide behind their keyboards
and their handles.
And dox people.
And who don't realize that just because you're anonymous online, you still have an impact.
Yeah.
So, like, basically this movie is, like, about YouTube commenters. It's like, you still suck.
Yeah.
So for me, watching the film, initially, the first thing I thought about is how excited the filmmakers must have been about Pokemon Go.
Yes! It's so good!
That they had sort of had the foresight to sort of envision a sort of real-life game similar to what Pokemon Go, that phenomenon, that everybody's playing and everyone around you is playing and you're interacting because you're all playing. So I think they're probably super stoked about that. I will say, I think they reference it. I'm not sure there's, like, a commentary initially on what it is, you know? It's just, like, they're playing game. There's sort of this idea of social media, and we're all online, and we're all have an online identity. And I think all that's in the movie initially, but I don't think there's, like, a commentary on it. It's just, like, played for fun.
Yeah.
Right?
The,
like, it's done to be exciting.
For the most part,
yeah, initially. And then, like you said, in the third act, I think there starts to try and be, like, a point of view that, you know...
What do we want to say here?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, you know, this movie
just present our message.
Yeah, I kind of felt like I watching this. I just felt like I wanted to watch the game instead, which is equally implausible, but so much more fun, and doesn't really feel like it needs to say anything. It's like, we're just here to make a fun movie.
No,
and this, I felt like by the very nature almost of it saying, well, you can't do a movie about kids and technology without shaking a finger at them.
Yeah, which you
like,
totally
kind of was like,
there's definitely a you kids get off my lawn end to this movie.
Yeah.
I think there's a thing of, you know, people giving speeches at the end about, you know, and I don't want to spoil too much, but I think the movie, it attempts to sort of have a surface commentary at the very end.
It just didn't work with the rest of
it. Yeah, it doesn't. Like, because, like, I look at this movie as sort of like... I looked at this movie like a flow chart. I could see each different place, each different type of movie this movie could have been. If they went straight in the romance route, they could have made this a romantic comedy very easily.
Sure.
If they went into teenage screwball comedy, they could have made it like an American Pie. If they went straight into the angst of coming of age, they could have made it a Perks of Being a Wildflower.
That's true.
They
instead they decided that they felt like they had to lecture.
They sort of wanted to, and I can see why they did it. They sort of wanted to make a point, but what they did is they made that first part so fun that by the time you get to honestly for me, and I enjoyed this movie, but even me, like when I got to the end, I felt a little betrayed because you had me having fun in this movie and laughing. And then like about an hour and 10 minutes into the movie, there's a girl walking across a fucking ladder 30 stories up. And I'm like, that's such a huge tonal shift.
I thought you were gonna throw up next to me.
And it wasn't the heights.
I was like, do you have a height issue?
No, it wasn't the heights. It was the fact that like I was disgusted that the movie was putting forth this premise that we have such little faith in humanity that people would be urging somebody to risk their lives for a fucking game.
Oh, see, that's where I disagree. I completely agree with the movie in the context that,
I think a good number of people would, but not the people there with her.
Yeah.
I think the people there with her would have been like, and there was some in the crowd saying, no, don't do this, this is stupid. But I don't think she would have, like, somebody would have been like, I would have, if I was her friend, I'd have physically held her from going on the fucking ladder.
Yeah.
I'm like, you may want to go, but you're not going to get ready
for me. See, because that's because you were one of the good kids in high school. But most of the kids in high school
would have been at that party. Yeah, that's true. I wouldn't have been at that party.
They would have been like, WTF, I can't believe this is actually happening.
Yeah.
So you felt the tonal shift was that didn't work for you.
It didn't.
You felt like it's this fun, light romantic comedy, and then at a certain point, it's going to take a darker turn.
Right when they get to that party. Right when they get to that party.
It just isn't.
It is a hybrid movie, yeah, genre-wise.
And I think both movies work separately. Mm-hmm. I think they both work in terms of, if I could cut these into vignettes and then recast the second part, they both work. But just that segue doesn't work for me, but I
feel like there's any seeds laid in the first half.
There's a few there's a few seeds laid. There is, and like I got to give the filmmakers credit.
Right. Not,
like I can see they were trying to get you ready for it,
uh-huh.
But maybe I'm just too big of a Dave Franco and Emma Roberts fan. So for me, I was just like, yeah, Dave Franco and Emma Roberts, you're like 12 years older than her. That's a little bit weird, but whatever, I'm going with it.
I see what you're saying. I'm not sure I agree with you. And partially because I don't think the second half really works. And part of the reason is it goes from fun implausible to where it actually wants you to think about the situation and like serious, and then it gets 10 times as implausible.
Well, yeah, I'm not counting
it just
that.
Builds thing after thing, and then the final like here's the solution part of it was like, I'm not sure I entirely understood it. I was like, wait, what, how, when would you have done that? Well, you never even had time to do that.
I think that scene you're talking about for me is where the movie peaked.
Okay, yeah. So that was the nadir.
Yeah, and that's where it had its most you know telling commentary.
Yeah.
That's where it had its most heart pounding suspense.
Mm-hmm.
After that, I think I know my plus one was very very exhausted after that.
Yeah,
I exhausted the audience after that. That's why the ending for me, the final act, isn't as powerful, because they're just trying to top themselves.
Yeah, it's almost anticlimactic.
You know, yeah, it really
you
is.
Make a. I think you make a good point. It actually makes me understand my viewpoint a little bit better. That was sort of it. Like I was so exhausted after that scene because I'm sitting here because they obviously are trying to do the thing where the movie wants to make you feel like a voyeur too,
mm-hmm.
but I want to leave. Like yeah. If I was in the audience and I had paid money and I wasn't here reviewing it, I'd have probably left at that scene because I don't want to. Yeah, because like the movie, just follow me, because the movie is trying to make a comment on you as the viewer for staying there and watching it. Like you're part of the people that are watching her on that Nerve app, and I would have wanted to make a statement to myself that no, fuck that, I'm leaving. Because I don't want to see you put somebody, even if it's fake, but you're trying to tell me it's real, walking across a ladder to die for a game.
Eh.
Like, I'm going to think better of myself to just leave.
I'd be like, walk across that ladder, dude.
Yeah,
I want to see that
testing
shit.
Testing the audience as well as, you know, the characters in the movie, for sure.
Sort of like what Christopher Nolan tries to do sometimes. Where he's like,
the other thing is, like, with that scene that we're talking about, as everything is coming together where the movie's going from light fun to kind of scary, it's also sort of reaches the peak for the characters confronting each other, mm-hmm. for what little amount there is of character definition for the other side characters. That all comes up peak. And that's as intense as that story ever gets. That's almost the end of that story, really. Because that, you know, after that, like their conclusion is like just, oh yeah, I'm sorry about that. You're like, but that was not really a payoff for everything that they just went through.
Although it's sort of accurate because that's how a lot of teenage arguments end.
Oh no, I know.
Where it's like I was a dick.
I don't necessarily require it to be too accurate. It just should be compelling. This is a movie we're watching after all.
You know what? True.
Were you overall? Were you entertained by the movie?
I was very entertained.
You were entertained? Up until that point, and then the movie just isn't entertaining
either. No, it's still entertaining, but it's, you know, you make a good point, because it's entertaining, but, and this maybe is not fair, but I got sold on a certain movie in the first half.
Okay.
And I don't feel like they fulfilled what they were selling me in the first half and the second half.
Do you feel the same way? Were you entertained by the...
I was entertained throughout, but then I did get exhausted after that.
You were exhausted, like, you were just like, whatever, like...
Yeah, well, I was like, how are they gonna end this? Just end it. Like,
yeah, yes. Just end it.
By the way, the other guy who, like, in the finals is the other guy who might win. He was played by Machine Gun Kelly, who's a pretty famous rapper, apparently.
Okay, he's like, I thought he was young Jay.
I don't mean either. I just looked it up on Wikipedia. It's like, oh, he's a musician. Okay, there you go.
So did you lose interest in the movie as the climax continues?
For me, like I said, it just sort of stops. It loses any reason to take it seriously after a point. It wasn't because of that climax per se, because I'm like, well, that was cool. Let's see where it goes from here. But I guess it's just that there's so much stuff, one thing after another, where like, wait, how could they possibly moments? Mm-hmm. We're like, how would that possibly work? How could they possibly do that? That I just pulled me right out of the movie. And I'll just continue on with my final thoughts here. By the end, I didn't feel like I was watching real people or people that I cared about anymore. Mm. Like, the first half, I'm like, they may not be real, but they're people I'm rooting for, and I'm rooting for them in a romantic comedy sort of way. I want these two to get
together.
These
two crazy kids.
I like these two crazy kids, you know? I kind of like where that's going, but it felt like that's that first half is the strength of this movie, and the second half was like, well, we got to end it somehow. You know, it just kind of collapses into a rather mediocre thriller that doesn't have much to say. In fact, spends so little time actually saying it that it's a little embarrassing, you know? And then, even then, the very denouement is like, that didn't really make any sense. It didn't, like, how would that possibly work? Not to mention one of my least favorite tropes in films, the magic hacker, which just kills me.
Yeah.
Like, are we still doing the magic hacker, for God's sakes, in this day and age?
Yes, we are. They explained it a bit.
But
it was still not good.
I'm going to give this 5.5 out of 10 unbelievably long-lasting cell phone batteries. How about you,
Frank? I would probably say 6.5 out of 10, if I can be that specific, because I like the sort of staging of the ending, because the entire time watching it up until then, I thought, huh, this is sort of like, you know, a 21st century hyper-real version of, like, back in old times when people used to watch gladiators go at it. And so I thought, oh, okay, that's interesting the way they're staging it. So, yeah, it loses its effects toward the end, but I was entertained through that. And I like the commentary, and I love the actors, even though it was depressing to see Juliette Lewis play the mom of a high school senior.
Yeah, she's has to pick up whatever role she can get at this point, I'm afraid.
Bless her heart.
Yeah. Elliot?
I enjoyed this movie. I feel like the filmmakers did a really good job. I may not have liked the story, but the filmmakers really did a good job of showing, like, especially with the cinematography. Mm-hmm. At the beginning, it's very open. You really get the feeling of the city and the expanse. They use a lot of wide shots. As things get more close in for the characters, the angles they choose get closer and closer and closer. So you get this claustrophobic feel as you're getting to the end. It makes you more and more tense. The only complaint I really have about this movie is not the acting, it's not the directing, it's not the cinematography. It's more the script needed to decide it wanted to be that the movie it turned into earlier. Instead of being a lighthearted romantic comedy for 2/3, it should have been a lighthearted romantic comedy for 1/3 and then the rest of the movie for 2/3. It's like if the Fight Club twist had happened like a little too early. So it just, that twist sort of just jarred me. But it's a movie worth seeing. It's not worth seeing in the theater. It's something that will be this movie would be fucking perfect for catching on Netflix at like 10 p.m. on a Tuesday night when you're just like surfing through. And you'll just be raving everybody because you're going to be like, this great movie was on Netflix and it was good. And so, like, I got to say,
I don't know if I would be saying that.
I would.
I could see it thriving on Netflix.
Yeah, yeah. I would too. Yeah. I think it's a good medium for it. Yeah.
See, I like these two people. I give this 7. Dave Franco's is my BFF out of 10.
Fair enough. Rob? Take us home, Rob.
I may have enjoyed this movie more than you guys. I think I just didn't require much from it, and it delivered on a lot. Delivered that I didn't have to think. Mm-hmm. It was very entertaining, very fast-paced, super slick-looking. I mean, they hang out in diners that look like they're lit by, like, Nicholas Winding Refn.
They do.
Bright primary colors in some, like, 50s diner. I think it's not a particularly deep movie. It's kind of flashy. And I think if you don't require much from it, it will be, like you said, a good, entertaining movie. Probably not an essential film of any kind. But fun, and you know, probably people who like Pokemon Go will really get into this movie.
Can I ask something? Does anybody know anybody who would actually pay $20 an hour to be a watcher?
No.
In their life?
That's almost nothing I would pay $20 an hour for.
Yeah.
$20 an hour?
Is it $20 an hour?
Fuck a bunch of that.
I will not pay $20. And everybody was like glued to their phones. I mean,
It's, you know, white people problems.
I mean, yeah. Considering all the ridiculous stuff that happens in the movie, that is the most ridiculous thing in the movie. Overall, I'm going to be pretty kind to it. I probably give it, just because I was entertained, I didn't think at all, and I kind of had fun. I would give it 7 out of 10 bouncy motion graphics that cover the entire screen.
I must admit, like, as much as I'm like, I totally wouldn't do that, if you had like Emma Roberts or Emily Mead going, we should do this, and I admit it'd be more likely that I'd probably give it a shot.
That would be persuasive. I would agree with that.
Yeah, the way I think about it is, like, 19-year-old Elliot would totally go around the city with Emma Roberts all night.
No, you wouldn't. You'd be like, that doesn't sound safe. I feel like I should call my mother.
No, I'd be like, that doesn't sound safe. I think I need to go home and watch Sequest, because that's what I did when I was 19.
17-year-old me would have been like, hold on, gotten really stoned, and said, let's do this.